The modern large cities are the crossroads of the nation and the focal points of their respective geographic regions. Many factors operating singly or in combination influence the location and the growth of cities. Good harbors have been the determining factor in coastal cities. On the Atlantic coast, on the Gulf, and on the Pacific are coastal cities, terminals of ocean trade routes. On the great inland waterways, mighty cities have sprung up, throbbing with the commerce of their regions. Rivers and lakes afford avenues for the flow of commerce. Urban centers often develop at the head of navigation or at other transfer points from one mode of transportation to another. Cities rose near mineral resources, gold, silver, copper, iron, coal, or petroleum. Often processing industries followed the extraction industry, and the mining town became a city. Man seeks a mild, even climate for leisure, relaxation, and convalescence. Consequently, the climate has been the outstanding factor in the growth of certain cities. During several decades following the birth of our nation, there were only a few scattered seaport cities of more than 25,000 population. Then, new urban centers in great numbers began to appear at strategic points in the wake of the westward movement. The extension and growth of cities has been marked by an accelerated tempo. Those urban communities that were favorably located with regard to trade and commerce, domestic or foreign, developed into large cities. Today, there are in the United States about 400 cities of more than 25,000 population. During several decades after the founding of the Republic, the nation was dominantly rural. Each symbol here represents 1 million people, black and white for rural and solid black for urban. With the extension of industry and commerce, young people in greater numbers from farms and villages sought their livelihood in cities, and there were joined by millions of immigrants. Although the United States is today predominantly urban, the South and the West are still mainly rural. Urban people depend on farms for food. Modern farm machines and scientific agriculture have greatly increased the agricultural production per man, and thereby reduced the proportion of people needed on farms. Cities have grown at different rates. Those that grew most rapidly possessed advantages which led to extensive business and commerce. Great power sources also contributed to the development of cities. Coal steam power tended toward extreme concentration. Modern electric power also attracts industry, but it encourages decentralization. New York City is the focal point of a vast industrial and commercial region. River valleys through the Appalachian Mountains tap the West by means of waterways, highways, and railroads. Coastal plains to the northeast and south connect with New York by railroads. Here the products of a nation are exchanged for those of other lands. To Chicago flow the agricultural products of the Western Plains. Iron ore comes down the Great Lakes, meeting the coal from Illinois, and in Chicago is made into steel. This transportation hub of the continent connects by canal, river, and rail with the Gulf of Mexico, and by water and rail with the Atlantic seaboard. A metropolitan area usually embraces a central city and its densely populated surrounding regions. Specifically, a metropolitan area is sometimes regarded as one which totals 100,000 people in a contiguous area with at least 150 people per square mile. Often, a metropolitan area straddles state and county boundaries. It includes a maze of other political units, cities, villages, and townships, with much overlapping, duplication, and conflict of governmental functions pertaining to highways, schools, police protection, water supply, and taxation. Such metropolitan areas of more than 100,000 are found in all parts of the United States, but they are most concentrated in the northeastern section of the country. The center of the metropolitan area is utilized most intensively with closely spaced tall buildings. The intensity of utilization decreases towards the outskirts, as evidenced by lower buildings with more space between them. Even the underground space is a maze of conduits, water, gas, and sewer mains, and electric and telephone cables. The central zone consists of offices, banks, and stores. Next, there is a transitional zone of warehouses, terminals, and old homes. The third zone is occupied by moderately priced apartments. The fourth zone has single-family homes. Beyond are the country homes and large industrial plants. When a metropolitan area grows, these zones expand to take in more area. In every large metropolitan area, satellite cities have sprung up. Some of these are highly industrialized, while others are mainly residential for those who work in the central city. The entire lower Mohawk Valley is an industrialized metropolitan area with three central cities and several additional industrial centers. The per capita cost of providing essential services, water supply, transportation, police protection, and education, increases with the city's growth. Delays in distribution of goods due to congestion increase the cost of doing business. The high value of land in the city leads to crowded skyscrapers, and people are compelled to live in crowded quarters, while opportunities for recreation and healthful living are limited. Electric power, a contribution of modern technology, can be distributed over a wide area and thereby facilitate decentralization. Instantaneous communication makes it possible for the production plant to be remote from the seat of management. The internal combustion engine has extended the network of transportation. Decentralization has advantages to industry by reducing overhead cost and increasing efficiency. To the individual, it makes possible a better integrated family, social, and civic life. Possibly the greatest advantage is in more healthful living, especially for children. The idea of city planning is of recent origin. Here is the center of one of many of our older cities which grew without much planning. Parks are shown in white. The capital city was laid out on a plan of circles with radial avenues. This architectural type of plan was quite satisfactory at the time. Here is a city laid out on the gridiron plan. This plan was typical of all new American cities during the 19th century. The motor age has necessitated a new approach in planning to direct automobile traffic away from parks, residential areas, and community centers. This residential community avoids hazards of automobile traffic in pursuing the active life of home, school, and recreation. Most of our cities have grown without this modern type of plan for making them better places in which to live. To achieve these new goals, much of the old must be demolished. Substandard housing is giving way to decent homes. The new type of housing gives fresh air and sunlight to all. New park construction is needed to relieve crowded residential sections. Playgrounds take young and old off the street in safe and healthful recreation. To relieve traffic congestion, new arteries are cut through the city at great expense. The modern city is beginning to reflect the needs of a motor and mechanical age. More and more, cities will be planned as places to live with the greatest degree of safety, efficiency, health, and happiness for all.